Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, today I'm doing something I don't do too often. I'm going to be doing a part two of a audio teaching I just did a few days ago. I did one called, Is Your Life an Abomination Unto God? This one's going to be, Is Your Life and a Proud Look an Abomination Unto God? Part two. It's a follow-up from my recent teaching on Proverbs 16:17. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Yeah, so you can go back and listen to that audio, look at the teaching blog, search the word abomination, it'll come right up. My point in that audio teaching was that so many people, this is mostly churchianity people, unbiblical street preachers out here, they call out to the sodomite groups that are really rampant nowadays. The whole culture is being overtaken with transgenderism, sodomy, gay, lesbian, homosexual, whatever you want to call it. I get it. And they say, oh, they're an abomination unto God. They need to stop that. And that is true. That is an abomination unto God. The Old Testament says it. The New Testament says it's sin. But here's the problem. In that audio, I pointed out that they overlook their own sin and their pride in their fashion and in their outrageous desire to show their bodies off: hair, makeup, fashion, adornment, clothing, jewelry, tattoos. They're rank hypocrites before God. Yeah, they are. Absolutely are rank hypocrites. And so the point of these two teachings is pride is a major issue, right? Pride is absolutely a major issue at work here. God saw Satan's fall. We read about that in the scriptures. We all saw in scripture man's fall. Couldn't keep the one thing that God said don't do. Couldn't do it. Got put out for one sin, by the way. If you have one sin in your life, Adam and Eve got tossed out for one sin. Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, got killed for one sin. So you better make sure that you're rooting out all sin from your life. Willful sin that is lived in on and on is not covered by the blood of Christ. I've got teaching articles on that. And so, really, I'm going to do a teaching on this too. All sin is rooted in pride. Basically, I know better than God, I'm going to do my own way. Sin, rebellion against God. So I'm going to do a teaching on that. But the whole point of my first teaching was hypocrisy in those people who call out other abominations like homosexuality, but they live in their own pride in how they dress and how they act and how they exalt themselves. That's what that word means, exalt. We'll get to that here in a minute. Let me give you an example of another case of this. So recently, doing some research, I look for news clips that I can use to edify people and do teachings on, because I want to be... Paul said, I become all things to all people, so I want to be able to speak on different topics to reach people. And I recently heard about beer drinkers. I used to be a big beer drinker before I was born of Christ. And they're all upset. Why? One of their favorite companies has decided to promote this transgender man, a guy that became a woman, and they got beer out named after him, and they're all up in arms. And all of these celebrities, these like singers and actors, are boycotting, that are against this transgenderism, right? And they're all boycotting this beer company, but you know what's hypocritical? So they'll say, oh, that's transgenderism. That's an abomination to God. And it is. But you know what? They all, in great pride, have their faces and bodies plastered on record albums, movie covers. They fly around in expensive jets. They live in huge mansions. They drive around in millionaire cars. They boast about their album selling number one. They boast about all the awards they've won. They get up on stage and dance around and sing in great pride and vanity. We already proved in that first teaching, God hates a proud look. They're abomination unto God, just like the sodomites are. Yeah, so they're in grave, grave hypocrisy. And so you'll also see people war against abortion, which I'm against abortion. It's murder. And they'll say, oh, shedding of innocent blood, that's an abomination. Same thing. Those same people, even if they're not movie stars, they'll be prideful in their denomination, prideful about patriotism, prideful about their career, prideful about, yeah, their dress and their vanity, showing their bodies and everything off. Yeah, that's what they're about in great hypocrisy. So that's why I'm going after this. None of us should be living in hypocrisy, especially those that claim Christ. It's going to cause judgment and separation. Go read Matthew 23, where Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites 7 or 8 times. So getting back to that first teaching, after that teaching, I had emailers asking me, well, what in the world does that have to do with clothing? A proud look. Well, that just makes sense to me, but it didn't to these people. So I thought I'd go into this topic a little bit more. The basis for the verse linked to clothing is really this. What's the real reason that people wear jewelry, adorned fashions, tight clothing, makeup, lipstick, eyeliner, hairdos, tattoos, any primping that you do on the outsides of your body? What's the purpose of that? 1 Timothy 2:9 says to be neat and orderly in apparel, which is long dresses for women. We know for men it's robes and tunics. What's the purpose of all that? Well, no modern pastor, nobody will give me an answer. We know what the answer is. We've all admitted it. All of the saints I know that used to be worldly said, I used to do it to show myself off, to feel good and lift myself up, and maybe hopefully look other people would look at me, and that made me feel good. Some people do it to attract a spouse. This is ungodly, sinful, carnal, and lustful. This is not of God. It's an abomination unto God, exalting yourself in pride and a proud look. So we can compare ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Peter was a fisherman. Nothing fancy about his clothes, I can promise you. John wore camel skins. Nothing fancy about his clothes. Ready? Jesus. Was he something to look at? Isaiah 53:2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus didn't deck himself out to be more physically attractive. I'm sure he wore a plain old tunic or robe like everyone else around him. In fact, he warned about the Pharisees that wore the extra long robes to get attention, like royalty. People always get on me for that because I wear a tunic. The tunic isn't sinful. It's when you're trying to lift yourself up with special tunics. Like the other day, I stood outside a Baptist church and the pastor had on this black robe that went down to the floor with big braided collar on it and all kinds of decoration. That's what Jesus is talking about. And then the guy took it off and he's got little skinny pants underneath and a tucked in shirt. You see the hypocrisy going on here. He's an abomination to God because he's walking around in his pride-filled robe that God never ordained. So back then, they didn't have spirit. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the spirit. And then we look at the New Testament, we never saw spirit-filled saints puffing themselves up, lifting themselves up in the outside, adorning and dressing themselves up. No, the Bible says the exact opposite. We have teachings of all that, dress for men, dress for women, don't adorn, dress in a low, shamefast manner, don't be lifted up in pride. Jesus warned about fine clothing, or talked about fine clothing. Matthew 11:8-18. But what went ye out to see? Talking about John the Baptist. A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. So he was saying, hey, John was like a rough, rugged guy living out in the desert. He wasn't adorning himself in fancy clothing. James, I just finished a verse by verse in James. James chapter 1, we finished. James talked about clothing and partiality. Ready? James 2:2-4. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him wearing the gay clothing, and say unto him, thou sit here in a good place, they're catering to the rich guy, and say to the poor guy, stand thou there, or sit there under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Yeah, we're not supposed to look at people with partiality like that, like the modern pastors do today. Oh, he can give a lot of money. Let's give him a good seat in the front pew. So as holy saints, we're not to be about the outsides in that way. We're not to be puffed up. We're to be lowly. humble by our words, our deeds, our action, our character, our dress, keeping the standards of God. James just taught us that. Be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. The word says be meek, be humble, be lowly, don't draw attention to yourself. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. People hear that, but they don't do it, right? And their house is built on sand. They're going to be washed away on judgment day. Now, I've talked a lot about clothing in the first article, in the first teaching. And in this teaching, I want to be clear. This is not limited to clothing. Oh no. No, there are people that have huge houses that they don't need. Why? People that drive really expensive cars they don't need. Why? People have a huge luxury shiny boat. Why? Things that are far, far above their needs. Could it be they're showing it off in pride? How about people that need reverend titles? How about people who want to get a college degree from a prestigious school? How about people that say, I've got 157,000 Facebook followers? How about friends? Oh, my team won the Super Bowl. Or children making the honor roll or making a certain special school grade or winning awards. This is all pride and exaltation of man, yourself, or somebody you're connected to in great partiality. It's sinful. It's an abomination before God. We see it all the time in the streets. That's why I'm talking about this. We just had a man tell us in the streets he was proud. He looked at me and said, I'm proud to be a Baptist. I looked at him and said, sir, you're an abomination to God. He hates pride. I thought he was going to faint. He didn't know what to say to that. Oh, I guess we agree to disagree. I said, oh no, God's word says you're wrong, sir. You need to repent of that. God hates pride. And this, just yesterday I ran into in a parking lot, we're in a town, a false teacher, a heretic false teacher that I exposed years ago. And I always thought God would put him in my path. He had been hiding from me. Guess what? I saw him in his truck when I was out walking and I walked right by his truck and I rebuked him yesterday. And he's full of pride about his beard and his body and his beard product business that makes men beautify their beards and gives all kinds of attention to their beards, and he sells all kinds of idolatrous clothing with the Lord's name all over it. He's making profit off of the Lord. A wicked, wicked man. This is prideful. This is an abomination unto God. Whatever takes us outside of our holy biblical life, away from being meek, lowly, humble, yeah, it can definitely end up being pride. You could catch the biggest fish from all your buddies. And you're prideful, remember? You probably not remember. I just finished James, and it said that we're to be spotless from the world. The world is full of pride. Perfect religion, James 1:27, is to look after widows and orphans and be spotless from the world. The world is full of pride. You need to keep yourself spotless from pride to please our Heavenly Father. So, getting back to another verse here, for those who ask about Proverbs 6 and say, well, how can that be about clothing? Again, it's about anything that's a pride issue. But here, how about lifting up of yourself? This verse is going to help us. Proverbs 16:5, another verse. Ready? Everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Thou hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination of the Lord. What's proud in heart? We've just been covering it. Proud how I look. Proud how much money I make. Proud how big my church is. Proud how I'm best friends with the pastor. Proud how I got a great job. Proud I got a brand new car. Proud, proud, proud. Pride over patriotism. Pride over I wrote a screenplay for a movie and I'm successful. You see what I'm saying here? The word proud in this verse, gana, or gahau, it means high, proud, lifted up, tall, exalted in stature, haughty, proud. That's not godly. That's ungodly. That's sinful. That's wickedness. And if you're honest, and I'm honest, it's easy to identify anything in our life that lifts us up, okay, that can lift us up or does lift us up. You know, I get people all the time not all the time, okay, sometimes, come up to me and they'll praise my ministry. And that's great that somebody sees it and appreciates what we do. Wow, you go out and do this, you do that. And I always say, hey, I'm nothing. It's all of the Lord, His Spirit, and His Word. I don't want to take credit for any of this. That would make me proud. The only thing that I'm lifted up about is that I'm serving Christ. I want to be lifted up in my voice to serve Him. I want to lift up my efforts for Christ. I want to lift up my resources in my house for Christ. I want to lift up my brothers and sisters to serve Christ. It's about the only thing I want to be lifted up in. Everything else, I got nothing. I got no other truth to help you. All my resources are from the Lord. My breath is from the Lord. My energy is from the Lord. I got nothing else if it isn't of the Lord. I don't know how I could be pride-filled with that attitude because none of this is of me. So people will give me praise from a ministry. Same thing with Sister Amin, and we just say, hey, God gets all the glory. This is not of us. So let's be honest. Anything can lift us up, and it becomes pride and proud. It's an abomination to God. It's how Satan fell. It's how Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. So you might ask yourself, why does God hate this so much? Have you ever thought about this? Well, think about this. Man looks to all kinds of things to exalt himself, make himself feel good, lift himself up, make himself feel worthy, give him motivation to live, but he doesn't look to God fully. And God is a fiery, jealous, consuming God. Yeah. And so he's jealous when his creation doesn't look to him for all of their satisfaction, all of their needs, and glorify him because he's given us everything. Breath, life, earth, gravity. And we look to other things. Sports, politics, movies, entertainment, religion. You got all these worship leaders getting all of this attention. Oh, you're so awesome. Your music's so great. You're so talented. That's pride. God hates it. He's a jealous God. It's all of him. Those people aren't even of him anyway. And they're putting Jesus' name on that stuff. So better be careful. Better be weary, all of us. God's a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. It's why he hates this. Pride is also idolatry. That'll come up in my pride teaching. I think I'm better than God's ways, and I lift myself up. That's idolatry and witchcraft. Now, we talked about this before. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it's true. Out of the heart, we dress, we act, we live, we do actions, we associate. All these things come from the heart. Matthew 12:25. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So that just tells us by your fruit you're going to be known. And if you're indeed lowly and humble and you have no pride in you, your appearance isn't a problem. You're okay with dressing down. You're okay to put on rags to cover your body because they're sin covering. They're not a fashion statement. When you don't care about anything about your clothing other than they're neat and orderly, nobody needs to look like a slob, like you rolled in a mud puddle. Wash your clothes. Sister Amin does a great job on the road keeping our clothes clean. We don't need to look dirty, but we also don't need to be lifted up, puffed up, exalted in any way. Ask yourself, if you care about how you look or what other people say about your clothing, your hair, your face without makeup, your body without showing your tattoos off, stop weightlifting so you don't have big muscles. You're not, if you're worried about titles, reverend, pastor, doctor, you have pride. And you're on the way to a great fall. Pride cometh before the fall. There's your homework assignment. Go look up that verse. You may be involved in idolatry too, because you're lifting up those things above the truth of God. So ponder that. In these studies, I hope that makes you think. One man recently told me that he had a certain water sport that he loved, and he told me about the totally grossly unbiblical dress that they wear while they're doing it. And he said, I don't want to give it up. It makes me feel good. Yeah, he's relying on a fleshly sport that costs a lot of money for his joy, his contentment, his peace, his energy, his strength, whatever you want to find. He's not relying on Christ. Christ went out into the wilderness to commune with the Father. He didn't go out to go surfing, which is fleshly and not for God's people. That's another whole topic. That's very common. We hear it all the time with people making excuses to hold on to their flesh and their sin. Again, very, very common. So sad that we see people doing that all the time. And that should not be so among God's holy people. Amen, saints and seekers, if you're listening. All right, so moving on. Let's take a look at some more pride verses, and we're going to round out this topic for the second teaching. As I read these, I want you to add, I'll do it, the word abomination into each verse. Because pride and a proud look is an abomination unto God. Let's add these in. Psalm 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance, it's an abomination, shall not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Hey, is God in all your thoughts? I know I can tell you that Sister Amin and I have been consumed with Christ, his word, his spirit, and his truth for 15 years. And that is not to our credit. I'm not boasting in us. I'm boasting in Christ. He's taken two wicked, carnal, vile people, and he's turned us into tools. We're not perfect yet, but we're striving every day to be. And he's turned us into tools for his glory. God is not in all their thoughts. That's a fruit of the Spirit, when you have all your thoughts in God. Most people throw God a few scraps, like today. Good Friday, here's a service. Sunday, Easter, here's a service. Sunday, regular week, here's a service. The rest of the week, they live for themselves, and they call you legalist if you tell them you need to repent and seek the kingdom of God with all that you are while they're at their worldly events claiming Christ. I'm going on here. How about Psalm 12:3? And the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Abominations. Yeah, it's an abomination unto God. How about Psalm 73:6? Therefore, pride compass them as a chain. Violence cover them as a garment. Pride compass them. Abomination. You seeing this? Job 40, verse 11. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, everyone that is proud, an abomination, and abase him. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart, an abomination, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of proud heart, an abomination, stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Isaiah 2:12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud, an abomination, and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, an abomination, and he shall be brought low. Now, while we can never be prideful about lifting ourselves up, I want to be clear here, we can definitely lift Christ up and boast in him. I just told you, I boast in Christ a lot. It's not about me. Paul did that. 2 Corinthians 11:10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. And 1 Corinthians 1:29 through 31. That no flesh shall glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Another translation would be boasting. He boasts in the Lord. So we can boast. I can boast about what Christ has done often, all the time, but it's not about me. It's not about Sister Amin. It's not about anybody else we know. It's all about Christ and his word and his spirit. He gets the glory. We're just his tools. We're just his bond slaves. We're just his servants. Moving on, let's see, what does the New Testament say about pride and abominations? Luke 1:50-52. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He shall show us forth his arm. He shall scatter the proud, abominations, in the imagination of their hearts. He shall put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Yeah, it's talking about abominations there. How about Romans 1:28-30? Famous verses here. And even as they did not like to retain their knowledge, retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, they're abominations, along with these other things. He's talking about homosexuality in this area of scripture. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents. Yeah, there's more abominations right there. How about 1 Timothy 6:4? He is proud, an abomination, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Thereof cometh envy, strife, evil railings, and evil surmisings. How about 2 Timothy 3:2? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. They're abominations. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. Abominations. And giveth grace to the humble. Yeah, there's that lowliness and humbleness rather than being lifted up. So God's word is full of warnings about proud ways. I'm going to do a whole teaching on it, I think. This one is a little bit different, abominations from proud, but I'm going to do a teaching just on pride alone. But I hope these two audio teachings, go listen to the other one, have proven to you in the Holy Scriptures that pride and proud look is an abomination unto God. And we know many ways are laced with pride, all the way from dress to careers to denominations to what you own, who you know, your political affiliation, on and on and on. So many things can be pride and can be cancerous. Go test your own ways. Go test your own heart. See if you have pride and proud ways in you. Are you an abomination before God? Are you lifting up yourself and people and things? Are you lifting up Christ and Christ alone? Are you exalting yourself or exalting Christ? Yeah, lipstick exalts you. All right? Lifting up your career exalts you. Lifting up political rallies and lifting up your candidate over the next candidate exalts a man. This is not of God. This is sinful. John, the great John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, per Jesus in John 3:30, said, I shall decrease so he can increase. Is that your life? I'm going to test myself through all this too. I do this with every teaching. I go and test myself, lest I be a hypocrite. That's my greatest joy and desire, is that I will decrease and let Christ increase. It's why my face isn't in every single video that we preach. I show myself sometimes so people see who I am, what I am, and they can test me. But that's why I'm not on all those teaching videos. That's why I do audios more than having the camera stuck in my face. This is not about me. This is not about Brother Two Post. This is about Christ, his word, his truth, his spirit. I'm just a mouthpiece, because Paul said, how will they hear lest you go and preach? The book of Romans says that. So let's all test ourselves to see if we're full of pride and a proud look. Are we being low and meek and humble? How do we know that being humble in our clothing and in a humble, low life matters? Now, let me give you one more verse. It's by the grace of God that we're saved through faith. Ephesians 2 tells us that, right? Not through grace and faith alone, but by grace, through faith, we're saved. It's a gift of God. We can't make it there without that. And if you love and want more of God, you want to be near him in his saving grace. You got to root out all pride, no matter its source. You know why? James 4:6. We're going to get in our verse-by-verse study to James 4. I'm getting ready to start chapter 2. Catch up. Go check out the verse-by-verse studies that don't perish. I think you'll enjoy them. James 4:6. But he giveth more grace. See, you can get more grace. A little bit. Medium amount, a lot more. How much grace do you want? Grace is the ability to serve God and remain in Christ and overcome to eternal life. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hey, I'm going to leave it right there. How can I end any better way? Ponder that. Do you want more of the grace that God is going to give you to the saving of your soul, or do you want to walk in pride and proud-filled ways? No matter how big, no matter how small it is, it's going to separate you from God. Go ponder all that. I'm going to test myself as well. I hope this has been a blessing to you. We love you all. Check out all the resources at don'tperish.com. Make sure that you're walking in the ways of God according to the gospel I preach here today, rooting out all pride and all proud looks and all things that lift you up and exalt you, rather than exalting the one who is so worthy, who paid the price for us in his shed blood and defeated death for us. Hey, I love you all. Till next time, the Lord lets me come to you again. I'm ready to go and call it a night. It's been a long day, full of good work unto the Lord. I'm so thankful he lets us do what we do. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. May God be praised.